All right, here's the honest truth. I have restarted this audio. This is probably take 9 or 10. Because I just absolutely do not know how to start an AMA. I don't know how to introduce myself because I've never had to do that for an audio before. I just start talking and moaning and making sex noises. I've never had to be like, hello, here is my name. Here's where you can find me on Reddit or stuff like that. So anyway, I'm going to try my best. Thanks for bearing with me if I am horrifically awkward for this entire audio. On Reddit, I'm Anissa Cooper. People call me Anissa for short. And I do a lot of things on Reddit. I kind of wander around. I got my start posting over on Dirty Pen Pals because I'm really into creative writing. And so I thought that would be a fun way to express myself and kind of explore some things. And from there, I wandered over to Gone Wild and posting pictures. So you might know me from there. And then from Gone Wild, I somehow leapfrogged over to Gone Wild Audio and quickly became addicted and have not left since. So you might know me from my voice. You might know me from my pictures. Or if you're some kind of early adopter, you might know me from a couple prompts that I wrote back on Dirty Pen Pals. However you've gotten here, hello and thank you. I recently got 500 followers, which is absolutely wild. And I'm very grateful for everyone who is, for whatever reason, interested in my content. Thank you for being here and thanks for coming along for the ride with whatever nonsense I choose to post because I'm all over the place. So thanks. So to celebrate that 500 follower milestone, I went ahead and put up an AMA, Ask Me Anything, and people were kind enough to send me a variety of questions, which I will now be happy to answer. I've tried to arrange them in some loose semblance of order, starting with kind of audio-focused stuff and then moving on to kind of general lighthearted questions. So yeah, here we go. What is your favorite kind of audio to make? So far, I've really enjoyed just making all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've done safe for work, not safe for work, narratives, dialogues, character voices in some pieces. I'm a switch, so I've done dom audios, I've done sub audios, vanilla girlfriend experience audios. I really enjoy just kind of getting to make whatever I feel like making. You know, I'm not trying to take over the world or anything, you know, or be like the best VA ever. I'm just here to have fun and be creative and be kind of silly. So that said, I feel like the type of audio I enjoy making the most are narratives. I really like getting to use all of the senses in description in a way that we don't always get to do in dialogue-driven audios. So what we're doing is a form of storytelling, right? And no matter what medium you're in, no matter what format you're in when you tell a story, there are certain concessions that you have to make because there are strengths and weaknesses to each format, right? When we read a book, that's different from watching a movie. When you watch a movie, it's different from watching a show. When you watch a show, it's different from listening to a radio play or seeing live theater or, you know, interpretive dance or what have you. There's, you know, so many different ways to tell a story, and each medium, each format has different strengths and weaknesses. So one of the strengths of dialogue audios, dialogue-driven audios, is that it's very intense, right? Like that you are speaking directly to me as a listener. If I'm the performer, I'm speaking directly to you as my listener, as my partner in that moment. And that's really potent and really cool about dialogue-driven RPs. Now, that said, one of the concessions that we make when we make dialogue-driven audios is that we describe things in a way that maybe we wouldn't normally in real life, right? Like in real life, when we're having sex, nobody's like, I'm going to take my tab A and put it in your slot B, and I'm going to lick from here to there and do this to your that. Like we just don't. I mean, maybe you do. More power to you. I'm not throwing shade. But I don't. Normally, sex is like, oh, we're making some good noises, feeling some good feelings. Maybe there's a little bit of dirty talk. But usually that level of description just doesn't happen. But that's a concession that we make for audios. So what I like about narratives is that because they are inherently descriptive, you can describe things in a way that to me feels a little more natural and is a little more forgiving, and you get to access more senses. You can describe, you know, maybe the scent of someone's cologne. You can say what you're thinking, what you're feeling. You can describe the sensations of the sheets against your skin or things like that. And those are some details that are lost in a dialogue-driven audio. So I really like that about narratives. I really like getting to have this holistic view of the moment, holistic view of the story, and get to access all those senses in a kind of bird's eye view that we don't always get in other formats. Think about your favorite scripts that others have written. What impressed you the most, and why are they your favorites? My favorite types of scripts that other people have written are the ones that really have a lot of emotion in them. You know, sometimes, you know, I just wax poetic about storytelling, right? Sometimes the story is two people find each other hot and they fuck. That's a good story. That's all right. That gets us pretty far. A lot of the times, it's kind of all we need. Sometimes the story is just like, hey, I want to make you feel good. And that's a good enough story. But a lot of times, you can weave in so much emotion in a story, in an audio, in a script. And the story can be, you know, anything. It can be just attraction. It can be love. It can be revenge, coercion, bittersweet loss. You know, there's any number of emotions that you can explore. And so I really enjoy when a script has a lot of personality to it, when there's a strong sense of character. And that's something that, you know, the writer brings to the table. And it's also something that a VA brings to the table, right? Because the same script performed by two different VAs will be essentially a different script. It'll feel very different depending on the nuance of the performance. But yeah, the ones that really impress me are the ones that tell a story. Like, for example, some of my gal pals and I, we always joke about dick pics, which, as someone who produces erotic content on the internet, I see a lot of. I mean, I enjoy looking at a penis as much as the next person. But when it's presented in isolation, just like, hello, here's my penis, that doesn't do a whole lot for me because there's no story to it. It's just a penis. I can admire it in the same way that I would like, oh, there's a nice oak tree, but it's not going to, you know, rev my engines. Now, you know, if I'm with a partner and we've been talking and we've been flirting and they're like, here's how I'm feeling about you. Here's what you've done to me. Here is my penis. That has a little more impact. That has a little more emotion. There is a story now to this picture of the penis. That there isn't when it's presented in isolation. So I think I feel the same way about audios, right? If it's just like, here is some dirty talk in a vacuum, you know, I'll enjoy it. But the ones that I really enjoy are the ones where there is like a story arc. Maybe there's fucking character development, you know, what have you. But ones where you're really invoking my emotions and my thoughts and my feelings, when scripts are able to do that, oof, chef's kiss. Which among your own content, either scripts or audios, is your personal favorite? So for scripts, that's easy. I wrote a shitpost script in honor of Scriptwriters Appreciation Month called I Want a Verb, Your Noun So Adverb. And it is a Mad Lib, which requires the VA to fill in the blank, quite literally, to complete the story. It's a little flirtation scene. Somebody, you know, trying to pick someone up at a bar or at a party. And what I love so much about that script is there's something like, I don't know, like 15, 20 fills of it. And because it's a Mad Lib, every single one of them is different. And that makes it like infinitely re-listenable to me because it was literally different every time. I'm also someone who loves to laugh. So hearing people bust up laughing as they try to get through this script is wildly satisfying to me. So people have asked if I will be writing more Mad Libs, and yes, I absolutely will. There's one in the works. So you can look forward to that soon. In terms of audios that are my favorite, I think the one that I'm like proudest of is called Two Listeners Recognize Your Voice. It was a collab with my dear friend Incognito Individual. So we wrote that ourselves. We basically each wrote our own lines. And then we recorded separately, asynchronously. And then I edited it together, which was my first time editing a collab. And I also tried to put in sound effects, and it was like my third ever time putting in sound effects. So that whole edit took me 11 hours, like nonstop over the course of a weekend. That audio is very special to me just because I worked on it so hard in every step of the way. And, Inco did a great job, and we had a lot of fun. People really enjoyed listening to it. So yeah, I think that one is a personal favorite of mine. Is there a special audio that you are most attached to? And I like this question because it feels different from the one that's my personal favorite, right? Because my favorite because like I busted my ass on that one. And it sounded really good. But the one I'm most attached to is Imaginary Friend by writer T. Nam, who has also become a very dear friend of mine. And when I first read that script, it was written as a male for female script. And it's about this imaginary friend, that the listener, left behind in childhood and is now reunited with, and they're both grown up, and the imaginary friend has essentially been waiting for her all this time because she is the center of his world. So that one really hit me. That script really hit me. First off, because Tina's writing is gorgeous. She does emotion, she does character like no one else I've ever known. But the story itself about this imaginary friend hit really close to home. When I was a kid, I had imaginary friends when I was little. And then when I was in middle school, I had an imaginary boyfriend. Because I was very shy and very awkward. And I needed somebody to care for me and love me. And someone I could safely explore these new emotions I was having with, these new thoughts I was having. I don't know about y'all, but I remember that phase of my life where it was like, man, I like that boy and I want to do something with him. I'm not sure what that something is, but whatever it is, I really want to do it. When like the wildest thing I could think of was to kiss someone and hold their hand. So I had an imaginary boyfriend for that. And I wrote him letters, and I would imagine the letters that he would write back to me. And it was this very, safe way of exploring these new emotions that I didn't know what to do with. And then, I got older and I outgrew him, and he lay forgotten. And then in reading this script, I was like, holy shit, where would he be now? If he'd aged at the same rate I've aged, if he was all grown up now, damn, he'd be the hottest DILF But all those emotions that I had, in the safe space that only an imaginary friend can provide, all came rushing back to me with the script. And so I asked Tina if I could flip it, if I could make it a female for male script. And she was kind enough to say yes and kind enough to work with me on it. And so that script is really emotional. Something that I've been told my voice does well is that I sound sweet and I sound affectionate and warm. And that's something that I very much enjoy doing, and it's something that I was very much able to do in that script. I poured a lot of affection and caring into that script and that performance. And people reached out to me to say, like, hey, this made me feel safe. This made me feel cared for or loved even in a way that I really needed. And it was really special to me to be able to provide that, again, that safe harbor that only an imaginary friend of your own creation, someone who is your perfect counterpart in every way, can provide. I think out of all the audios I've made so far, that one is most precious to me, both because I enjoyed the original script very much as a listener, and I really enjoyed getting to tell that story as a performer. How do you usually feel before posting something on GWA? And what about the first time you ever posted? Nowadays, I'm really excited when I go to post things. Like, I feel like a kind of giddiness, you know, if it's a script and I'm like, whoa, I can't wait for people to read this and to fill it. If it's an audio, I'm like, yes, I can't wait for people to listen. And hopefully, you know, it'll help people feel good. I'm not someone who's like chasing numbers, so I'm like, oh, I hope this one gets lots of upvotes or, you know, or anything like that. I mean, obviously, you know, we all put effort into the things we make. We want people to listen to them and enjoy them. And of course, getting, you know, feedback and, you know, validation, as it were, is always nice. But I have, I really make stuff for myself and for one hypothetical person. Sometimes I have a specific person in mind, but a lot of times I'm just like, you know what? One person out there is really going to enjoy this. This will be totally their thing. So whoever you are, this one's for you. And that really, I think, keeps me very grounded in what I make because I'm not, you know, I'm just having fun. I'm just goofing off and trying to help people feel good. And so with that in mind, like, I tend to feel really excited because I'm like, yay, I get to, you know, people are going to feel good. Maybe, hopefully, if I did my job right when I post this thing. So let's go. The first time I ever posted, so I never intended, when I joined Reddit, I certainly never intended to become, you know, a voice actress of audio erotica. That was never on the docket. But I did enjoy writing. And so the first thing I ever posted, the first audio I ever posted, was a gift for someone I was playing with at the time. And so I wrote it and I recorded it and I was just going to send it to him privately. And then I was like, you know what, though? I'm really proud of this. I'm really proud of this. And maybe I'll just go ahead and post it. Just this one time, I'll go ahead and post the thing. And then I'll go back to writing. And then I posted it and I was just like, you know what? That was kind of fun. I enjoyed making an audio thing and I would like to do that again. And here I am now, several months later, very much enjoying myself and very much enjoying doing the audio thing. Yeah, I think because I have that one person in mind, whether they are a concrete person or hypothetical, I don't usually feel nervous when I post. I'm just like, yeah, get this out the door. Let's do it. Do you have a favorite VA? Yes. Will I tell you who it is? No. He knows who he is. But, you know, joking aside, like, I am a very avid listener of audios. I think, you know, for a while there, I was listening to like straight up like 15, 20 audios a week, just two or three every day. I'm somebody who listens, like a lot of times I just enjoy listening while I'm driving or doing laundry or the dishes or, you know, just kind of putzing around in the way that people listen to music or podcasts. I listen to audio porn. So that allows me to get through a lot of content because I'm not listening to every single one of them in bed. So, you know, I have lots of people whose work I greatly enjoy. People that, like, I listen to pretty much everything they post. So as an avid listener, I'm also, like, I also enjoy commenting because I know how good it makes me feel when people comment on my stuff. So whenever I listen to stuff and I enjoy it, you know, like I comment right away. So I'm all up in the comments all over the place. You know, I will say, without doing any name dropping, I will say that I listen to a lot of MDOM audios. That's probably the most frequent type of content that I listen to. So that makes up the bulk of my time on GWA is lots and lots of MDOM audios. What's the thing you love most about being on GWA? I think the thing I love the most about GWA is getting to explore different things that I'm into. You know, if I see an audio with the tags that I'm like, huh, that sounds like it might be interesting, then I can listen to it and check it out and go, okay, that worked for me, or no, that didn't. Or maybe it's a VA I follow and they post a new type of content. And so because I listen to all their stuff anyway, then I go ahead and listen to it. I'm like, oh, that worked more than I care to admit. Or whatever the case may be. And the same goes for, you know, the types of things that I'm making. You know, I'm able to explore different kind of aspects of my sexuality and also just different parts of performing. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a voice actress. Never thought it would be like this, but hey, that's one way to achieve your dreams is by making free porn on the internet. So I really enjoy getting to do that and getting to, you know, see what I can do with my voice and what different types of performances, different types of characters I can create just using sound. So really, it's kind of a big playground. I feel very creatively fulfilled. And then as a listener, I'm having a lot of orgasms, and who can, you know, best of all worlds, really. What is your least favorite thing about being on GWA? I'd say my least favorite thing is when someone comes out of the woodwork to leave a nasty comment on something. Like, my friend, it is free porn. If you don't like it, move along and, you know, go scroll on to the next thing you like. But the fact that people take time to downvote and then leave nasty comments is like, come on, you know. And constructive criticism is one thing. I'm not saying never, you know, never to give constructive criticism, but that's only when the performer has asked for it or when the writer has asked for it. And there's a time and a place, and there's a way in which to do that. So when people are just like, this sucks, or this is unoriginal, I'm like, get off my lawn, you know? People are here putting themselves on the line to make entertainment for free. Just, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say nothing at all, you know? What's been the best surprise about your experience in GWA land so far? The biggest surprise for me is the people that I've met. I have just met so many cool people in this space, and I certainly, you know, never expected that. I didn't expect to make, you know, genuine friendships of people who are now very near and dear to me. And also, you know, casual friendships, like people that you kind of like wave at in the, you know, next to the water cooler kind of vibe. People who have become collaborators, co-conspirators, people that I look up to, that I admire, you know, creatively, you know, like, y'all are just so cool. And yeah, I was blindsided by that. It's been a delightful surprise. The vast majority of people that I've met are, you know, kind and generous with their time. I've, you know, reached out to a bunch of different people like, hey, you do this thing real good. How do I do that thing? And they're more than happy to take time out of their day to teach me how to do the thing. And, you know, that's just been cool. It's just been cool. I really enjoy that. Writing, recording, and editing are three different processes. Which one do you prefer, or are they all equally good? Wow. Yeah, they really are three, like, entirely different processes. I think my favorite this is going to sound weird, but it's probably the editing. First off, because I get to clean it up, right? Like, I feel like recording is the raw dough, is the raw material that I then get to polish and make into something good in the editing process, where I get to clean up all those flubs, where I get to adjust timing. I've had a couple audios now where I've experimented with putting in like sound effects, and that's been really fun. So yeah, I think editing in a way is my favorite. I've also had the honor and privilege of doing 3 collabs so far, and all 3 of those have been, I think I mentioned earlier, asynchronously recorded. So meaning we were not together live at the same time. I mean, I hope it sounds like they were live. None of them were, but people are like, oh, it sounded like you two had so much fun recording. And I'm like, haha, we did, but separately. So it is a great joy to get to stitch those things together and make it sound as good as humanly possible with just some patience and elbow grease, you know? So I think editing might well be my favorite, which is not something I ever thought I would say. These next 3 kind of go together. What's your process for script writing? How long does it usually take you? And do you have a favorite genre to write? Well, I am glacial in my pace as a writer. I am incredibly slow because I think and I overthink and I, you know, wring my wrists and I take forever. Y'all who are pumping out 2-3 scripts a week, let alone 2-3 scripts a day, I really don't know how you do it, because I'm like, ah, yes, 4 a year seems like a good pace for me. Or at least that's what it feels like. I'm like, ah, 2 months. Yeah, I'll get a script done in 2 months. So far I've written what I'd categorize as 2 different kinds of scripts. Ones that I've written for myself have all been intended as gifts for a particular person. Someone that I was trying to, you know, make smile, to make hard. Someone I was trying to make feel good. And so in that sense, you know, I'm thinking about what I would want to say to them, what I would want to do to them, what things they're into, where our interests overlap. So that is a very, that's its own process when I've written those. The scripts that I've written for people to fill have both been shit posts. And in that one, you know, I'm thinking like, what's really going to make someone laugh? So it's a very different process. You know, I'm trying to make people feel good either way. But yeah, the shit posts are, they're their own beast. I'd really like to be able to write male for female scripts to put out, to be like, here are the words that I would like to hear. VAs, please fill this so that I can listen to them in the dark. But I'm having a really hard time with that. I feel like, I don't know, shy? There's a shyness. There's an element of like cowardice of like, oh my God, I can't ask people to say these things. Yeah, that's something that I hope to make my way towards. I'm working on it, but I haven't gotten there yet. Are there particular things as a writer, performer, and or editor that you're most looking forward to trying here in the future? So for writing, again, definitely M for F scripts for other people to fill. As a performer? Know if there's like a particular thing that I'd like to try. Again, I've been really privileged as a performer to just do all kinds of things. I'm hoping I get to do more collabs because I really enjoy doing those. And then as an editor, I'm very much looking forward to editing collabs. So inevitably, when I am wringing my wrists over some edit that's taking me 500 years, please point me back to this moment to be like, Anissa, you wanted to do these things, remember? And I'll be like, ah, well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. So that's it for the audio questions. We'll move on to the other kind of more personal questions. The first one of these is, what's your love language? And I'll be honest, this one made me kind of burst out laughing because, like, I have a bio posted with all my kinks in it. Like, here's all the things that I like sexually. But in terms of, like, love and romance, that's not something that we tend to talk about too much in this space. Or, you know, in Not Safe for Work Reddit as a whole, or at least in my experience. So my love language is, man, it's a toss-up. My top three are quality time, words of affirmation, and physical touch. I like cuddles. I like kisses. I like sitting on the couch with someone and just enjoying being in the same space with them. I enjoy one-on-one conversations a lot. I'm not a big groups kind of gal. I like hanging out in small groups, you know, like maybe 5-6 people tops. So that kind of, you know, quality, high quality time is very important to me. But if I had to only pick one, it would definitely be words of affirmation. Words are very important to me. They hit me deep. They hook into my brain in a way that other things don't do. I have a little notebook that I have words of kindness and happy memories from all the people that are important to me, like childhood friends, current best friends, you know, my family. And whenever I'm struggling, I look back over those words, and that's what anchors me more than anything else, is being able to replay those words in my mind. And I think maybe that's one of the things that attracts me to audio so much, is it's words. It's words that I get to listen to, and depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I can seek out the words that I need. I am completely blind to gifts. Like, if you give me a gift, I'm like, cool, thank you, and I will immediately forget that, like, someone ever gave it to me. Like, there's tons of things in my house, and I'm like, damn, someone gave this to me, and I wish to God I remembered who it was, because it's a cool thing. So yeah, the experience of receiving a gift just does not go to long-term memory. I enjoy it in the moment, and then it's gone. I don't treasure gifts, I think, in the way that some people do. I also hate surprises. This is neither here nor there. I don't enjoy surprises. I like being able to anticipate things. So I get a lot more mileage out of knowing that something is coming down the line than I do out of being suddenly surprised with that thing. That doesn't really have anything to do with love languages, but there you go. That's a thing about me. What's your favorite comfort food and favorite comfort activity? For comfort food, really any kind of sweets. I have such a sweet tooth, so ice cream, cake, those are probably my favorites. Cookies. I like baking a lot. I love baking desserts. So just like, a perfectly baked, perfectly warm chocolate chip cookie. I'm set, man. That's all I need. I'm gonna tell you my favorite comfort food. There is an ice cream flavor that they sell at my grocery store called Chocolate Cookie Quarry. And it's like cookies and cream, but with a chocolate ice cream base instead of a vanilla ice cream base. So it's chocolate ice cream with Oreos in it. And let me tell you, you're having a bad day, you're having a bad life, doesn't matter. Chocolate Cookie Quarry will fix it for you. That shit's the best. Favorite comfort activity? I greatly enjoy naps. It's like time traveling. If I'm having a bad time, I can be unconscious. And when I wake up, hopefully whatever was happening is fixed. Something else I find very comforting is anything where I get to bring order out of chaos. So I really enjoy solving jigsaw puzzles. Honestly, if you set me... Okay. Imagine like a discount bin of books. You know, the ones where it's like just a huge jumble of books. If you just leave me there for an hour to organize it peacefully, whether alphabetically or by size and color, like, I'm so content after I get to just organize something. But it has to be something stupid and ultimately unimportant. Because if it's anything that has any kind of weight to it, it's not the same. But like, I volunteer at my daughter's school library once a week, just reshelving books. And man, that is the most relaxing thing in the world. I love it. It's very comforting to me. If you had the chance to travel in time, either past or future, where would you go? With the caveat that you'd be able to return to the present at command. I am a slut for time travel stories. Back to the Future, Doctor Who, Time Traveler's Wife. Like, I love time travel. I love all the, like, ethical questions it it raises. I love all the difficulties. So I could spend a lot of time getting my head wrapped up and answer this question. This would be like a podcast in and of itself, me answering this time travel question. But let's see, do I have a lighthearted answer to this question? If I could go anywhere past or future, where would I go? I don't know. I don't know where I would go. All the points that I'd want to visit would be places in my own personal history. Not because they'd be like historically exciting, but because I think I'd be able to bring fresh eyes to past situations that would maybe help me interpret them differently, and maybe come to a different understanding about myself and my own actions and the people involved in them. Which is, again, not a lighthearted answer. For a lighthearted answer, I'm going to twist the question. If I could relive a day, what day would I want to relive? And in 2019, I went to London for a whole week all by myself. It's somewhere that I had dreamed of visiting my entire life. And, you know, I saved up money. I pinched pennies for years to be able to go for as long as I did. And I went by myself. I left my husband and daughter at home. So I kind of got to be, you know, just out on my own and do whatever I wanted whenever I wanted to. So I set out this meticulous itinerary, and I could either keep to it, or if the spirit moved me, I could just fuck off and do something else. And it was great. And there was one day in particular that I was in the Borough Market, and I had this vanilla custard filled donut, and the sun was shining and the breeze was rustling through my hair, and I was just so happy in that moment. I was so content, so deeply, deeply content. So I think if I could revisit a moment and relive a moment, it would be that day wandering the Borough Market with that vanilla custard donut in my hand. It's just a nice day. You ever just have nice days? Right? Like, it doesn't have to be best day ever, but it's just nice. I think nice is underappreciated. There's a lot to be said for just a nice day. It's just a solid day. Do you have a dream vacation spot? What would be your perfect summer and winter vacations if there were no safety or money issues? I like the safety caveat. I'll tell you what, I hate being cold. I don't like the snow. I do not enjoy being cold, but I also do not enjoy being hot. I don't want to sweat and I don't want to shiver. I want to be perfectly maintained in a terrarium that is between 72 and 80 degrees at all times, with controlled humidity and utmost comfort. So with that in mind, I actually don't like summer and winter, which I know is not the point of this question, but I much prefer spring and fall because they're a lot more even keeled, right? They're a lot more moderate in temperature. If I had to go somewhere in winter. Okay. So my winter vacation spot would be Disney World. I am enormous Disney trash. I love it so much. So I would spend like a week and a half there just eating like a queen. And I would do theme parks every other day so that I could rest in between. Or just go for like a morning and then go back to the hotel for a nap. Because my time there is unlimited. So I don't have to be going 1,000 miles per hour every day. I can pace myself and enjoy. So I think that's where I'd go for winter. Somewhere for summer, I have greatly enjoyed being in like the Caribbean during the summer. Just nice quiet beach and a book and temperate water, nice wind, coastal breeze. And I'd really like to get back to London someday. I mean, I'd like to explore a lot of Europe. A lot of places I haven't been in the world that I would love to go see. I have family ancestry in Spain, so I'd love to see a lot of Spain. I'd love to explore a lot of the British Isles. And I'd really like to go to the Pacific Northwest sometime. A lot of, like, just very pretty landscapes there. If you could have a superpower, what would it be and what would you do with it? I would pick one of two things. First would be healing, just to be able to help people would be fantastic. To help people who needed help, I think would be fantastic. More selfishly, I would want my power to be teleportation. A lot of people say flying. Flying sucks, and here's why. Because you have to spend all that time in the air. So, like, if I'm trying to get from here to New York, it's still going to take me a couple hours, even though I can fly. So I would much prefer teleportation so I can just be there and be done. And what I would do with it is I would go and visit all of my friends that live all across the world. You know, I'm lucky enough to have lots of friends, like, just fucking all over the place that I've collected over the course of my life. And it would be so nice to just be able to pop over and see them for an afternoon, for a day, for a weekend, and then come back home and not have to worry about paying for plane tickets. If you could live as an animal for a day, which animal would it be and why? I would be a red panda. They are so chill. They're very cute and very playful, and mostly they take naps. They don't have a lot of predators. They're just kind of doing how they do. And that sounds like a pretty nice way to spend a day, if you ask me. What's the most useless talent you have? So my secret talent is that I make perfect pancakes. I never lose one to the pan. I always know exactly when they need to be flipped, and they come out golden and perfect every time. Can I put that on a resume anywhere? No. Will it get me any kind of monetary compensation? Also no. But weekend breakfasts at the Cooper House are pretty chill. And the last question. Do you think you can make these words sound sexy? And there is a list of 6 words. I do not think I can do this, but I will try my best. Isotope. Nope, that's not happening. This is not happening. How do you make isotope sound sexy? Isotope. Nope. Mm-mm. Also, my voice is kind of shot. I'm a little raspy today, so. Can I moan it? Isotope. Nope, that's still a no. We'll go on to the next word. Categorization. Hydrangea. Cyclosporine. You can't make that sound sexy. Cyclosporine. Zydeco. Zydeco. And the last word on the list is anchovies. How am I supposed to make anchovies sound sexy? This can't be done. Who can do this? Anchovies. Anchovies. All right. That is a delightfully silly note to end on. Thank you for coming to my AMA if you actually listen to me yammering on for however long this final edited product is. Thanks again so much for the follows, for the support, for the listens. I really appreciate it, and I will see you out there. Bye.